So for me, there's a whole bunch of just really cool memories of my sons as little ones. And not just about Legos, though they, back in the day, made their share of those wonderful creations. And they're still, even as grown-ups now, making Lego creations. When it snowed this week, I chuckled recalling the thrill of a snow day for them. How many of you, just admit it, even you big kids, you, how many of you got a little bit excited about the snow day? Okay, all right, yeah. Well, I remember the thrill of that for my boys. And I remember them waking up and being all excited to put on the snow gear and go out front to play with friends. We lived in a townhouse development in Limerick at the time. And oodles of young families with little kids. And there was generous green space between the different courts in our neighborhood. When it snowed, those big grassy areas became snow fields, including mountains of plowed snow, which, of course, the kids all played on. Burrowed tunnels in and created almost fortress-like things within the different courts there. One snowy day, our court had an enormous snow mountain out on the edge. And the court on the other side of the road had an enormous snow pile as well. And, they decided that it would be great to have a big old snowball battle. So kids tucked in their fortress on this side and started chucking snowballs, and over on this side chucking snowballs, and turned into this, you know, battle of the courts back and forth. And they were having so much fun that big little kids decided to go out and get in on it. Parents went out and got involved, and as big little ones, we were also chucking snowballs. Great fun. Eventually, I got cold along with our boys, so we went back inside for hot cocoa. Later on, we learned that the whole snowball battle got out of hand, really raucous, as some of those big kid parents decided to take it too far. Months later, there were still warring factions within our neighborhood. I'm not kidding you. There were still, at Christmas party time, the very next year, comments being made rah, 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 against one another about two violent snowballs and caustic words that were tossed at one another. How ironic, right? Little kids having fun and big little kids acting way too childish. Actually, the Bible says big things about little ones. The Lord utterly loves and prioritizes little children. So should we. The Lord utterly loves and prioritizes little children. So should we. He even chooses to call his growing followers of all ages little ones. His little ones. It's really good for us to pay closer attention to God's view on our little big things. And that's what this series at the start of 2024 is all about. Paying closer attention to how much God prioritizes our little big things, including little ones. Kids are a much bigger deal to God than we might initially think. Truly. Now, this is important for us to get a hold of, because some of us, we grow up and we get a little bit older, and then what happens in our thinking? Well, kids are okay if they're tolerable in the moment. If they're behaving an angelic-like, if they look really cute, like all the kids in the video a few moments ago, then okay, but in all the daily rough and tumble, I don't know. It's so important. So important that we pay closer attention to God's view of little ones. Much bigger deal to God than we might initially think. Our hearts and minds, our focus and our work in this world take on a new level of passionate focus when we see little ones through God's eyes. It's really a big deal. It really is. Don't believe me? Let's take a quick biblical survey. Quick biblical survey. First Bible book, Genesis, explodes with the birth of kids and the blessing of God's mission plans rolling out through little ones. It's really good for us to pay attention. These little ones born across the generations, as we see again and again throughout Genesis. And we see great care expressed for little ones and their physical well-being. Genesis 47, verse 24. Genesis 47, verse 24, amidst severe famine in Egypt and Joseph's governance. So this is the biblical narrative of Joseph. His governance for keeping families alive, people alive during this great famine. He said this, and at the harvest, you shall give a fifth to Pharaoh, and four-fifths shall be your own as seed for the field and as food for yourselves and your households and as food for your little ones. Later in Israel's history, similar great care. Physical needs, tangible physical needs, God's great care and him calling humans to get involved in this great care. Similar great care is expressed. Numbers 32, 16 and 17. God's people came near to Moses. They came near to him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our livestock and cities for our little ones. But we will take up arms, ready to go before the people of Israel until we have brought them to their place, and our little ones shall live in the fortified cities because of the inhabitants of the land. Same chapter, Numbers 32, verses 24 through 26. Moses says, build cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep and do what you have promised. And the people of Gad and the people of Reuben said to Moses, your servants will do as my Lord commands. Our little ones, our wives, our livestock, and all our cattle shall remain there in the cities of Gilead. We dare not miss it. We dare not miss it. God so loves little ones and caring for their physical needs. So should we. God so loves little ones and caring, tangibly caring for their physical needs. So should we. Highly value their birth, health, and flourishing. Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. How appropriate that we focus on highly valuing little ones. Pause to ask. What am I doing? What are you doing? Ask yourself, what am I doing to actively care, protect, cherish, and supply for little ones, including the unborn? What have I done to help and bless an individual or family affected by abortion through our local Align Life Ministries, which is across our region, different spots. Align Life Ministries, great ministry. How about little ones in global places of famine, child trafficking, or other abusive situations? Is there something more you should do in order to align your heart and actions with our Father God's heart? There's more to see on the biblical scene. More to see when the sacred covenant was renewed at Mount Ebal. We see careful attention to God's word, originally given to Moses, now read by Joshua. Joshua 8, verse 35. We're told there was not a word Of all that Moses commanded that Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel and the women and the little ones and the sojourners who lived among them. Joshua read the opening scriptures, Moses' words to the families, including, did you catch it? All the little ones. All that Moses commanded. We dare not miss it. God so loves little ones and meeting their spiritual needs. God so loves little ones, yes, meeting their physical, tangible, practical, everyday needs and their spiritual needs. Why? So they flourish in knowing and loving him. So should we. So should we. I'm very challenged this week by this scene. Let's be more Joshua-like in 2024. Let's be more Joshua-like in 2024. Eager to invest, to supply spiritual cultivation with God's words for little ones. Pause to ponder. And in your heart, just take a moment to just celebrate that God's nurture and care for little ones through you and me, through a community of faith, is that real, that intentional, that purposeful? Celebrate that. And then align your heart and actions with your Father's heart. Align, or maybe realign your heart and your actions with God's heart. So vital, because whether we fully realize it or not, kids are actually processing more about character than we think. Because God is active, God is on the move. Because God is working in our world, in your family, and in your neighborhood, and in your grandkids, and your kids. Because God is active there, kids are processing. Their hearts are stirring, asking questions about character, and even developing concepts about character. Watch how some kids talk about patience. Watch this. It would kind of turn into a bossy world. Yeah. Well, as a parent or grandparent, church like this on Sunday is tremendous. So make sure you stay faithful. Don't quit. Stay faithful in coming for your kids and grandkids' long-term good and for the legacy cultivation for your own family, for the long-term good. What else are you doing daily, each week, to cultivate God's truth and actions in little ones? Don't leave it all up to Sunday. We're happy to, right here on Sundays, be a spark plug with your kids, but we can't begin to replace your daily influence. As parents, as grandparents, we're not here to replace that. We're here to partner with you. So what are you doing? Each day and all week long with little ones, read and talk about God's word together across the week. Start to make it, if you're not already, or if you are, let that grow, fan that into flame, the daily talk around your table, on the car rides, the daily talk about God and his values. Decide you'll pray together. Let that become normal flow and rhythms of your life and your habits, praying together as a family. Such good refresh for your heart and mind. It truly is. When you do that as a family, it is good refresh for your heart and mind all week long and in the daily rhythms of your life. Don't miss opportunities to cheer on your kids' school teachers and coaches and other key influencers. Don't miss those opportunities. If you're a school teacher, a coach, or some other community influencer like that, thank you. In fact, they don't do it for the limelight at all, but they're not about to out themselves right here. But if you will you join in with me in thanking them? I'm going to thank them right now. Teachers and coaches and other key community influencers. And some of you know you're sitting by one. Just go ahead and nudge them and say thanks. You're pretty good. Yeah, do that. Truly to celebrate that. Big thanks to each of you. Our children's ministry right here at Manor supplies vibrant ways to partner ready to support and encourage you, parents and grandparents. And you might find it awesome to start serving in one of the children's ministry areas, if you don't already. Many of you do, but if you don't, encourage you to consider that. Pray about that, either regularly or occasionally with special events. This is one of the areas in our church, so many areas growing in really great ways. This is one of them, leading the way, and we're constantly realizing week after week, oh boy, there's an opportunity right there. Oh, we're excited because there's more kids, there's more young families, there's more grandparents bringing their grandkids. We need somebody right there to help. And if you, as you pray on it, would like to be involved, give us a shout. We'd love to help you get involved. Don't miss extra grassroots ways to influence little ones. Grassroots ways to influence little ones. There was a dear senior lady when I was 5 years old. Dear senior lady. Mom and dad were young on their own faith journey, and they had been lovingly, faithfully layering God's word and gospel message into my life, but they sensed that some additional input would be helpful. And so they got Mrs. Lincoln involved. Again, I was about 5 years old at the time, and Mrs. Lincoln was this dear senior in the midst of our church. She was a very proper Southern belle. We lived in Virginia at the time. Very proper Southern belle. This was the mid-1970s. She had beehive hair and all. I remember sitting there as a five-year-old next to her and looking up and thinking, how does she keep that up? That's a lot of Aquanet. Mrs. Lincoln. She came over to our house a bunch of Sunday evenings and shared Bible stories with me via flannel graph. Anybody remember flannel graph? It was great. She's putting flannel graph up and helping me. Wow. God used my mom and dad and Mrs. Lincoln to help me know Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, he readily described his devoted followers of all ages as little ones. Catch that. His devoted followers of all ages as little ones. Matthew chapter 10. Matthew 10, verses 40 to 42. Christ spoke of reward for receptivity to his message and his messengers, those representing him. Note what he says, Matthew 10. Note what he says when sending out the disciples. Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me, meaning the Father. Verse 41, the one who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and the one who receives a righteous person because he's a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Now note verse 42. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Jesus shares a powerfully intriguing view of his disciples as little ones in his kingdom. Matthew, the disciple, gospel writer Matthew, all across his gospel account, aims to spotlight King Jesus and the kingdom. Great big theme for Matthew. King Jesus and living life in his kingdom. Matthew 18, verses 10 through 14. Matthew 18, 10 through 14. Jesus said, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. And based on the verses immediately before these words, Jesus is talking about both literal little kiddos and his disciples. In other words, people of all ages are in view as little ones. So we can think, when we hear Jesus' words here, we can think either or, both and. Jesus continues. He says, for I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Isn't that intriguing? Angels tagged up, assigned to little ones. Verse 12. Matthew 18, verse 12, Jesus says, what do you think? I love Jesus' use of questions. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. Verse 14, so, catch this, don't miss it. So it is not the will of my Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. It's vital to ask ourselves, what's my personal perspective on little ones? What's my personal perspective? See, if we're not careful, we grow up and we all grow old way too quickly. We all get a little too grown up. And if we're not careful, we start in our attitude and then often in our actions just kind of brushing aside little ones or thinking too little of them or not making enough of the opportunities to invest and to pour into their lives, to love on them with the love of God. What's your personal perspective on little ones? Pause long enough to reflect and recall, because not that long ago, you were one of these little ones. And if we're following Jesus, we really still are. Or should be, in attitude and actions. Make sure your heart and actions match the Father's heart. One day when my oldest, Jared, was little, about this size, he's a big 25-year-old now. He's married, has a wife, owns a house and a couple dogs. He's living the dream, you know? But when he was about this size, maybe just a shade older than this, he climbed up on the bed next to me one day, and I thought, oh, this is fun, because he, you know, was cuddling with me. And then all of a sudden, he lays his head over onto my chest, and he picked his head up, and he looked me in the eyes, and he goes, Daddy. And he did so like with extra Jared drama, and like he was going to tell me some big secret. And he goes, Daddy. I'm like, what, buddy? He goes, I can hear your heart beating. Yeah, I just, oh. And then I chuckled because I realized it was his first time apparently to do that with anybody, or at least certainly to do that with me. And I chuckled, and then he enjoyed it so much, I guess my chuckle, that he laid his head back on my chest again and picked it back up. He goes, Daddy, I can hear your heartbeat. And he did it over and over and over again. And I moved with the reality that this foundational habit needs to be true for us with our Heavenly Father. With our Heavenly Father, let's daily be drawing close in His Word and in prayer, plus listening and obedience, ready daily, hourly even, to say, oh, Heavenly Father, I hear your heart. I hear your heart beating. See, then we're able to say, Father, I'm trusting you more in 2024. Father, I trust you more in 24. In John's gospel, we readily see him speak of our salvation experience as being born anew into the family of God. Family of God. See, Matthew's gospel, it's the King, King Jesus and his kingdom. For John, great big theme is the family of God and the Father's love. The King and his kingdom, for Matthew, the family of God and the Father's love in John's world, in John's gospel, John's perspective given to us. And so Jesus' faithful followers are frequently, in John's lingo, referred to as children of God. This becomes one of the Apostle John's favorite ways of referring to Jesus' followers. Children of God and little children. So when he writes his letter to early Christ followers in 1 John 2, 1 and 2, he says, my little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And verse 2, he says, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation. It's a big fancy word that takes us right back to Jesus' cross. Because propitiation means Jesus, the sacrifice atoning, so satisfying to our Father. Propitiation means that sacrifice, his body given, his blood shed, that sacrifice atoning for our sins, and so satisfying to our loving, just, holy Father. And so, propitiation means that Jesus was doing everything for you and for me so that we could be right with the Father. He did everything for you and for me so we could be right with the Father. And notice that not for ours only, not for our sins only. We all need our sins dealt with, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And verse 12, 1 John 2, verse 12, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. In verse 28, and now little children abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink from him in shame at his coming. Great big goal for John is to build assurance and confidence in our relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Confidence, assurance. 1 John 3, 7 and 8, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. And verses 18 through 20. Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. Verse 20, 1 John 3, verse 20, for whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. Building stronger courage and confidence for Christ's followers. John says in 1 John 4, verse 4, Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And then in a grand finale to his letter, final two verses, 5, 20 and 21. And we know, and this no, it's not some pithy little, you might know it. No, this is confident, this is assured, this is deep assurance, this is deep understanding. He says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true. In other words, we are sisters, we are brothers, we are family, we are in Christ. In his Son, Jesus Christ, John says. He is the true God and eternal life. And then verse 21, here it is. Here's the fireworks at the end. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Such little children lingo is powerful to consider and then apply in our own lives. Truly. What should such a reality, this deep confidence, this big assurance that John is talking to and talking to us as little children, what should such a reality, being one of God's little ones, call forth in you and me? Well, several better heart habits for us as little ones. Consider these as we finish this morning. Just a handful of better heart habits to go out into this week. Here's the first one. As little ones, be utterly dependent. Trusting Father more in 24. Father, trust you more in 24. Be utterly dependent in all the little big things, in all the little big challenges, in all your little big frustrations, in all your little big temptations, in all your little big opportunities. Father, trust you more in 24. Be utterly dependent. Here's another better heart habit. As little ones, posture your heart and actions as humbly obedient. When your kids or grandkids really delight you, what are they often doing? They're humble and receptive, right? They're humble and receptive. Like the kids in the video earlier, they're learning to be patient. Humble and receptive. Here's another one. As little ones, grow up stronger, confident overcomers. Grow up stronger, confident overcomers. We're not to pull back, shrink back, cower in fear. Too many of us live too many years of our lives cowering in fear. He's called us to be overcomers. Confident because we know that we know him. We are in him. Here's another one, another heart habit. As these little ones, trust in Christ's mercy. Trust in Christ's mercy, that big word we tossed out there a few moments ago, propitiation, trust. Just a couple moments, we're gonna have the opportunity for communion together. Stations here at the front and in the back, and you're invited to partake today. And as you do, I want you to keep in mind, keep at the forefront of your thinking the sacrifice that Jesus made for you on the cross, that sacrifice that atones for you, that sacrifice that so satisfies the Heavenly Father's incredible holy love, incredible just, good, and merciful God, our Father. As little ones, trust that mercy. Trust how he's handled your sin. Trust him. Trust him more in 24 regarding your sin. Here's another one. As little ones, diligently guard against idols, false devotions and distractions. That's what idols are, what distracts you and pulls you away from wholehearted devotion to King Jesus. We're going to talk more next week about those little big habits that can actually become big idols in our lives. There's a little old song. Some of you heard it years ago. For some of you, it might be a new one. It just simply goes like this. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little feet, where you go, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little ears, what you hear, for the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Guard against idols. And one more. One more. I invite you to stand, and we're going to get ready to worship some more and partake of communion together. Let's stand, and let me give you this final one. As little ones, live to bless others. Share Jesus' hope. John has an action bias. Did you catch it earlier? He said, don't just love in word, but in deed, in action, in truth. Live to bless others in all your little big things this year. Amidst all your little big things, constantly watch for opportunities to share his good news. Constantly watch for those opportunities. So the opportunity, little but big opportunity, is to remember right now his sacrifice for you. On the cross, his body given, his bloodshed. So when you come to one of the stations, and in just the next few minutes, whenever you're ready, you can come. When you partake of the bread, you do so remembering his body given for you there on the cross. Why? To handle your sin and mine. As you take of the cup and drink from it, well, why? Because his blood was shed there for you and for me. That perfect sacrifice that atones and satisfies our loving, merciful, just, and holy Father. Lord, thank you so much. Such incredible care for us little ones. Thank you for this amazing work in the world that you call us into with kids and grandkids and other little ones. But thank you that you never stop calling us little ones. Help us follow you with humble hearts. And right now in these moments, Lord, tune our hearts toward you. In these moments, please, Lord, we choose to remember. We choose to remember you, Jesus. Your body given, your blood shed. Thank you. Any places we need to confess and lay before you, we bring them again and ask your forgiveness. We bring them anew and ask your precious forgiveness. We thank you that we're forgiven. Jesus, we love you. In this time right now, we choose to commune with you, Father, your heart. We love you, Lord. Amen. Whenever you're ready, in the next few minutes, whenever you're ready, you can go to one of the stations. If you'd like someone to serve you today, if you're not able to step out or it's easier for you today, please feel free to lift your hand and an usher will come and serve you communion. Let's commune right now.